Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Ay, mijo, es que eso no es de Dios. Hello, hello, hello.
Good show, good show, good show.
How's it going, Babs?
It's going good. I am in transition almost to California, so I will stop moving. My mom calls us the gypsies because we're in de un lado a otro, but we're good. Just wrestling with this new normal by doing everything online for school. How are you?
Oh, well, you know, just living my best life here in Las Vegas, trying not to melt, you know, trying to stay alive during a pandemic.
Qué desorden.
You know, I thought that because of the pandemic, because of the quarantine, that my summer, I call them my summertime blues, you know, summertime sadness, like our Latinx queen, Lana Del Rey. Things about. I thought it wouldn't happen, but it's set in. Anytime it gets so, because like I've mentioned before, the weather in Vegas is so hot that like summer is kind of our winter here because we have to just like stay inside, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like miserable to do anything. So, but it's been great because I have a studio here at the Jewel in Las Vegas, J-U-H-L. And it's nice and air conditioned. And so I try to stay daylight hours here, and then, you know, I go out for walks and, you know, social distant backyard maybe hangs once in a while with people, but that's basically it. I'm just in my studio and in my house back and forth. I just made a big lowrider piñata for the first time with a real car.
What?
I know, bitch. Listen to this. I'm not going to say any names because I don't know if there's been a press release or anything yet, but keep an eye out. East Coast, Philadelphia area. I think I said too much already. But there's this going to be this like pop-up like public art project that's going to happen soon. And I think by the time this comes out, you can find it on my Instagram page and all that. But I was supposed to fly out there this month and work with a bunch of people and mechanics and lowrider people and like actually piñata a car, because I usually make them from scratch, you know?
Desde scratch.
But this time I said, you know, I don't really feel comfortable flying right now, and it's just going to have to be like me and a couple people instead of a big thing. So I thought the project was going to be canceled, but the art organization that I'm working with worked really hard to make it possible for the project to still happen. So guess what, Mimi? They bought me a car here in Las Vegas,
an old car.
It was so weird because... okay, so first, this is how it happened. Let me give you a little insight because I know you want these boring details.
I do.
The curator sent me, bless her heart, she sent me a list of like 10 cars. She's like, okay, based on your address, we found the cars closest to you that we can afford to buy you that are like older than 1990s cars. Because I'm like, I want old 80s, 70s, 60s, you know. But once you get past the 80s, it gets kind of expensive because they're like classic cars, you
right.
know. And so on the list, one of the first cars on the list was a 1984 Thunderbird Elan, which was my mom's first car. It was the first car that my mom saved her money and bought herself in the United States. And when I saw it, I just was like, I almost got emotional because when I was little, I remember that car. It was the car that I would always, that my mom would always drive me around in. As a single mom, I spent a lot of time in the car waiting for her for, you know, running errands, all that shit. Because, you know, back in the day, they just left us in the car, okay? All you kids nowadays, all the Gen Zers don't even know what it is to breathe, okay? Y'all don't even know what it is to be in a greenhouse car.
Oh, my God.
For 3 hours while your mom was shopping at Ross. Okay, so yeah. Wait, did you have a question?
No. I was going to mention something, but go ahead.
Okay, so they bought the car, and it was working. They drove it to my friend Dan's house. Shout out to Dan the Man Hernandez. He is a lifesaver. He has a huge garage, so we've been working in his garage the last 2 weeks making this happen. And we finished it early a few days ago, and now we're just waiting on them to pick up the car. So they're going to pick up this piñata car, put it in a truck, like in a semi, and then drive it to Philly so that in a few weeks they will install it as public art. And wow. The design of the lowrider is all my mom's design, because I'm like, this is too perfect. So I talked to my mom, and she wanted something to represent Guatemala. And, you know, my mom's very like, she's really proud, and she also loves like really pretty. She has like a lot of flowers and a lot of birds like as decorations in her house.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, let's go with a bird, because I've already done a lowrider with a lot of flowers.
Con un quetzal.
Exactamente. So the hood has a big quetzal on it, like with its wings open. And then the tails, this was my part of the design. The tail actually goes past the hood, and then like goes, like the design follows up through the roof of the car. Oof. And then down the back. Kind of like a Mustang stripe, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's feather. It's like the two long feathers that a quetzal has that go all the way back. And they slowly kind of separate as they go back into like a V shape. And then, so the quetzal, when it's like mating season, the male quetzal, it also has like two other auxiliary long feathers on the side that are a little bit shorter. And so those stripes go down the side of the car. And then, so it's white on the top, just like the flag, the Guatemalan flag, white on the top, and then blue on the side, like a nice sky blue.
Yeah.
On the side. And my mom wanted everything chrome. She's like, everything silver.
A huevo.
And so, a huevo. All for eggs. So, but yeah, so that's... That's
it totally makes sense, because, like, I want to get historical here, but the quetzal feathers, like, for the Aztecs, it represented Tonali, which is the light of God. So, like, people...
Absolutely.
So, like, the reflection of the chrome and the idea of the quetzal, I like that. I like that Mesoamerican touch of your mother. That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually exactly what my mom said. That's crazy. Okay. yeah. So I'm happy that that's done. Well, happy isn't a word, because you know I'm dead inside. So, but I'm glad that it went smoothly.
Uh-huh.
And that I got to work with my good friend on it. And I'll be, and you know, longtime listeners know that Babalito used to make fun of me for this, but now I know that. I shouldn't be shamed for having so many best friends. Some of us are just like that.
But, es que cuando conocí a este güey, every single person, I would be like, oh, have you met that? Like, yeah, we used to be roommates. It was like that for like 2 months with you, bitch. That I never made fun. It was just so funny.
I don't... You're like, let me guess. And anytime you would meet somebody, you're like, let me guess. He was your roommate. She was your roommate. And I'd be like, yeah. I'm sorry that I lived a life, okay? Anyway, it was so nice to spend time with Dan. And then it was also nice, you guys all know Michaela, if you're old listeners. My friend Michaela, she is my guardian angel, my rock. She took really amazing photos of the whole process. So as soon as I'm allowed to, I will reveal the car. I know some of you have been following me on Instagram, and I was like putting little previews in my stories, so you saw it, but... yeah, stay tuned for that project. And I also mentioned on a couple episodes ago that I worked with Angelica from Balloon, Angelica Negron, on a project. And so that is super secret, so I can't even talk about it at all.
But... Oh, I know what it is, bitch. He told me. It's so exciting.
So that's going to be coming out soon, I hope. We'll see. Okay. Yeah.
Sweet.
So other than... moving across the country, what you been up to since the last time I recorded?
Bitch,
how was that journey?
I live my Von Humboldt fantasy, because I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to drive straight through. I just can't. So mm-hmm. We stopped at a couple of places, but we stopped at the Utah National Parks. Bitch, No wonder everybody there is so religious. Like, if you don't believe in God, that state will make you believe in God. It's like I was living my best Westward fucking fantasy. It's so gorgeous. We went to Arches. I have never seen anything like that. And I can honestly say that that's the most beautiful place that I've seen in my entire life. It was fucking extra. And the best part is that you could just do it in your car. You don't have to go out. I mean, you can, you should, but right now it's not the best time to be, you know, like hanging out with strangers in national parks.
Shout out to my best friend and roommate, Kara. She visited Vegas in February and we're like, hey, we want to go see some nature. It was February. It was really nice out, you know? Uh-huh. Like, great, let's go to Red Rock. And we went to Red Rock, and you know how there's the scenic loop?
Yeah.
That's a national park, like, in Vegas, basically, if you don't know. And we just started driving, and I'm like, oh, there's a nice little hike that has a lot of shade over here. And we had a rental car, like a Jeep.
Right.
So we started driving, and I'm like, I've never had, like, this big of a car. And there's all these dirt roads. So I was like, we're allowed. You want to just go on these dirt roads and see how far we can make it? And we made it so far into this hike. But, like, we were driving, like, past people hiking.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
And we were like, and then we get to our destination. We're like, okay, we should probably stop here and actually hike, right? And we look at each other and we're like, I think this counts as hiking, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We were on a dirt road. We were going less than 5 miles an hour at some points. We're like, great, let's turn around and go eat. Yeah, okay. And we fucking left.
That was like, my
wow,
kind of
I love hiking with you. But describe Arches. Is it, because I'm imagining in my head, I'm imagining kind of like Valley of Fire? Is it deserty or is it
no
trees?
Think about exactly that, the Red Rocks State Park in Vegas, but 10 times larger and 10 times taller.
But what are the arches? Like, are they like the rock formations or what?
Yeah, and there's like, I don't know, there's so many of them, but some of them are like thing long arches. There's like the typical arches from the West movie, like the Western movies and stuff. So many times you
like
just
red,
drive.
Like red
yes,
rocks?
Yes, all of it is red rock. Okay. It's gorgeous, man. Like,
wow.
I've seen pictures of some of those arches, but being in the park, I mean, it's so fucked up because those are Native American lands and all those fucking rocks have like names of white dead men. It's gross. But it's just like, it's, I don't know. Like, I don't even know. Like, I was fucking doing everything I preach against in my landscape class. I was like, yes, I was finding myself again. Like, I was like having sublime moments. It's just like, it was so amazing. And I wanted to go to go through, ¿cómo se llama ese national park? Ya se me olvidó el pinche nombre, but that's
Yosemite? Where,
no, not Yosemite.
Mammoth?
Monument Valley.
Monument Valley.
Yes, but as you may know, COVID ravaged through Navajo Nation.
Oh, no.
So it's dead. And like the visiting center, because the monuments, the national monuments are owned by Navajo people. So it was closed. And I wanted to go by there because I'm writing a paper on Westerns. And I'm actually going to present it next February in New York. But we went to where John Wayne stayed while he was filming the movies. It was so disgusting. It's like a little hotel, and they have this little homesteading store that this guy, basically the guy who made this whole thing happen, lived there. So it was this man, and he called John Wayne and said, you know what? Monument Valley is the place. You should come here and film your Westerns. And like the most iconic Western landscape, it's Monument Valley. And it started all there. But you go there, and of course, the workers of the store are Navajo. But the owner of the tiny little museum, it's a white man. who's from Mexico, but not the Mexico that you think. He's from those latter day saints, like colonies that you see in outside of Casas Grandes around Ciudad Juarez. So it's like,
one of those compound
exactly.
Mexicans. One of those Louis C.K. Mexicans. I got you.
Exactly.
One of those transparent pedophiles. No, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna stop. Okay.
I think one governor of Texas also came from there, something like that. I don't remember. Anyway,
Ted Cruz?
No, El Kerry. ¿Cómo se llamaba John?
I don't know if Ted Cruz.
I don't know if Ted Cruz. Can you tell we fucking suck at politics? Anyway, so we go there.
I don't. Excuse me.
But espérate,
you vote for me, 2020.
Llego to the store and I'm like, can you open the museum? Because I'm writing a paper about how fucked up Westerns are. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And then my husband is like, don't frame it like that. I was like, what? Like, she's Navajo. She knows that this is fucked up. Well, I was wrong. And the owner came in and, bitch, this man growing up in a mission and pretty, and that's what I'm doing. I'm comparing religious missions with the homesteading life. So he's living his best fucking mission life. And he talks about how much all these people care for the Navajos, even though that's basically like a neo-colonial setting that they have. It's so fucked up. They have a statue of John Wayne inside, all kinds of pictures.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It was so hard because I needed this tour and I needed the pictures. But at the same time, I just wanted to fucking mandarlo a la chingada, you know what I mean? Pero it's like, estaba en casa ajena and I needed his picture, so I was just nodding. And I was like, este pendejo, man. And it was interesting. It was really weird, but going through the national parks in Utah is something else, man. It's fucking, it's beyond. It's so, I mean, now we want to do this because it took us like over 3 days to get here, pero nos tomamos nuestro tiempo and it wasn't hard. And like last time.
Are you in Vegas still?
Yeah, I'm leaving tonight, actually. I'm going to California. I'm going to Joshua Tree. So I'll be there for the rest of the year.
Come on.
Yeah. So it's been interesting, but the hardest part and the most complicated part of all of this is that as I'm traveling here and there, I'm trying to finish the commission for 4 essays that I have to do basically in 2 months. So I'm almost there, which it feels good. But I'm excited because if everything pans out, by next year, I'm going to have all these fucking new publications. And I can't wait to talk about all of them in detail, especially the one about La Malinche. Once all of this shit is over, hopefully soon, I want to have Victoria from the Denver Art Museum, maybe as a guest, so we can talk about the legacy of La Malinche because it's such a controversial figure. And they're organizing an exhibition around her and art that celebrates her legacy. So I wrote an essay about that, and that's the part that I'm more excited about. So hopefully by early next year, we can have like a long conversation with Victoria, which I met through you at the Denver Art Museum, which I'm very, very grateful. It's amazing.
Yeah, she was my roommate in 1997. And yeah, she's so great. Just her energy.
Yeah,
I can't. It's unmatched. What's her last name? Do you know her last name?
Hal.
Shout out to you. I remember your days before that last name. No, I'm just kidding.
Stupid.
Ooh, edit that out. Okay, so.
Aha. Let's talk about food.
Oh my God, we haven't even done that yet?
We haven't even done that.
Oh, girl, well, I have a story to tell you because I actually ate real food today.
No mames. Like food that was alive?
Yes, mamo. So, yeah, it was like I went to my mom's house yesterday. Yes, I think it was yesterday. She cooked for me, and because that's, she knows now. I trained her well. She knows that if she makes food, I will come. And so she had chuletas en salsa verde.
Hijo su madre, yes.
With arroz and this, I don't know if it's a Guatemalan thing or if it's my, you know what, listeners, write in, call in, let me know. My family, all of my family has a version of, my Guatemalan side, they have a version of pollo en crema, which is like caldo de gallina, you know, or like caldo de chicken,
pollo.
You know?
Yeah.
de pollo, but with cream in it, like with caldo, like sour cream, like the Mexicana kind, you know, the watery one.
Yes,
they like put it in the caldo and it makes it pollo en crema. And the vegetables are a little bit different too. Then it's like a lot of potatoes and what is it, chayote or whatever, and and carrots and shit. But it's really good. What?
You've never described a food like you're doing it right now. Normally, you're so detailed. You're like, you know, watery cream, you know, potatoes and shit. No se me antoja, güey. You have to do a better job.
I don't know how to explain it. It's so comforting, the food, that it's very simple. That's just what it is. And then my mom makes the best rice. So that pollo en crema, you eat it with rice and you eat it with tortillas. And she made me handmade Guatemalan tortillas when I was there.
Oof.
She spoiled me. It was delicious. But you know, Guatemalan tortillas, y'all know that you can only eat really like two because they're so thick. So I actually prefer eating it with regular tortillas so that I could eat more tortillas, you know. But I indulged. I had a couple of Guatemalan tortillas. They're like, you know, they're like, I learned a lot actually from my mom, because she figured out how to get the YouTube from her old phone now on her TV.
Sácatelas.
And you know that I said, Mom, your phone sucks. Like, I need to get you a new phone. Can I at least do that for you? She's like, no, I just figured out how to put it on the TV. It's fine. And I'm like, okay. Meanwhile, literally the Samsung she has is like shocking her every time she uses it. Okay. Like, she's like, nomás me da
un toquecito.
Exactly, that's what she said. Es que me da toques de vez en cuando, but it's okay. And I'm like, what? Mom, can I buy you a new phone? It's going to explode in her ear like CeeLo. Remember that video of CeeLo Samsung exploding?
Oh my God, yes.
In his studio, whatever. So my mom watches these videos from people in Guatemala that just like, I don't like them because it's like that thing. I like some of them, but a lot of them are them going to check on these like poor people, a lot of indigenous folks in las aldeas, you know, in the jungles and the little pueblos. And they just like do like almost like unboxing videos of them like bringing them all this free shit. Like, oh, aquí está señora, le traigo like, you know, here's some cereal and some soda and some water. And like, I don't know. I wish they would be more creative with their content. I wish they would like just give them the stuff and not. That's like the worst part of, for me growing up, that was the worst part of my birthdays, is when you had to sit there and open your presents in front of everybody to be like, ooh, how much does this tia love me? Oh, wow. And then you have to like perform that you like it for everybody, or else you're like an ungrateful piece of shit, you know? So basically, this is what I'm watching. Like, and I love the older indigenous ladies because they don't give a fuck. They're like, what? Just bring me some water. What are you bringing me all this junk
food
for?
Yeah, but you have the privilege. It's your responsibility. Like, don't take all the credit.
Who?
No, it's just like what people do. Like, me caga la madre when like people give things just so they can take the credit. You know what I mean? So like,
it's, exactly.
And a lot of folks, understand that that's what they do. That they're giving you shit just so they can feel better about themselves. You know, that's probably why they react like that.
So anyway, my mom showed me this guy. I forgot his name, but I'll give him a shout out another day. But he has his whole family. Like, his sister has a YouTube channel now, and his mom. Does like a little cooking channel, and they're bad. They're really bad. And they have like hundreds of thousands of subscribers. So,
hijo de su madre.
I was like, Mom, you know that if I make a channel with you cooking, like you could have as many followers as this lady. Like, you're that good.
Yeah.
And I could shoot it on my phone like 10 times better than what they're doing. And she's shy, and I'm like, well, don't. And so I was showing her TikTok, like, look, there's all these people that don't even show their face. They just show the ingredients and their hands doing everything. Like, we could do something like that. And so I'm trying to convince her, just so she has a hobby, you know, instead of just talking about my weight, you know. So, but she was showing me the mom's videos of her cooking in Guatemala, and there's this really cool one where, actually, this was my favorite one, where they're walking through the mercado in Hualan, And that was fun because they were just shopping. They're like, oh, this fruit. I love this. And describing everything, you know?
That's cool.
And that was really cool. And then they go up to this thing, to this puesto with señoras cooking, what I thought were pupusas on a grill.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, they're in Cualan. Why are they making pupusas? She's like, mijo, esas no son. She's like, I don't know why my mom has a Mexican accent, but she does. She's like, let me try a Guatemalan one. I can't do it. I can't do it on demand.
Te tiene que salir naturalito, güey.
I know. It has to come out. She's like, esas no son, she said, esas no son pupusas. Esas son empanadas.
Hijo.
Or something like that. And I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, what is it? They're like, ah, es como una tortilla con queso and chicharrón. And I'm like, you just described a pupusa.
That's funny.
And she's like, that's just not what we call them. And so anyway, I thought that was really funny because we talk about it all the time about Mexico, of how like the same food has different names depending on what state you're in, basically.
Right.
Same thing with like Guatemala and like El Salvador, right? Like they have very similar foods, but they call them completely different things.
Like I grew up with tostadas, but then I learned that they were totopos, and then I've heard they're duritas. So it's like everybody has a different name for it. So yeah, I totally know.
Yeah, they're either called empanadas or tortitas. I think they're called tortas. I don't know, girl. Either way, it looked delicious, and it reminded me of my mom's tortillas that I ate. And so just to give you guys a visual, I took you on a journey all the way to Guatemala, to the Mercado Zahualan, to let you know that my mom's tortillas look just like those in the video that I'm not going to share a link to. And so, because I don't like that they exploit these indigenous people in Guatemala.
That's fucked up.
It makes me so uncomfortable. It makes me so uncomfortable. She packed me leftovers, and so I have them in my studio, and so I just ate pollo en crema on top of rice, but get this, I have a lot of ginger for some reason at my house, and so I keep making ginger rice. So it's basmati rice with ginger and garlic, and
that sounds bomb.
So that's the base, and I poured the caldo on top of it, the pollo en crema, and it made me think, oh my gosh, this is like curry. Because it tasted like, over the ginger garlic rice, it tasted almost like a Penang or a yellow curry.
Yeah.
And it clicked, and I thought, oh, shit, if I didn't use chicken and just use vegetables and some sort of, alternative meat or protein or whatever, I could totally make pollo en crema vegan. So I think I'm gonna try and have my mom teach me her recipes and then try to do vegan versions and see how good they come out. Because I bet, girl, a coconut milk version of it would be so bomb.
That sounds awesome. One time I gave my mom Japanese curry, and the first thing she did was like, ay, sabe a mole.
Like, right? How is your mom about that? Because whenever I ask my mom, I'm like, Mom, I always say, like, Mom, I love your cooking. I want to save it forever. Let's do a cookbook. Let's do videos. And she's like, ay, mijo, pa' qué? Ay, she doesn't think her food's good, you know? So how does your mom react? Do you ever say stuff like that to her?
Well, I try to cook everything that she makes, because especially now that I'm so far away, I miss it all. And I don't think I've ever appreciated the food so much as I do right now. But now it's become a competition. Ya la conoces. So one time...
Wait, against you?
Yes!
And she uses... Your mom is a fucking beast. I love her.
Bitch, pero espérate, güey. She uses my...
The spirit of competition. Your mom's picture in the dictionary.
She uses my husband as the fucking, like, proof. So el otro día hizo, before we went back to Chicago and packed our shed, she made tacos. So he takes a bite, and they're fucking good. Los tacos callejeros that she... And I don't know if I've given the recipe here before, but it's just like bistec with bacon and salt and pepper, and that's it. But she makes pepinos en vinagre, cebollas en vinagre, pico de gallo, salsa roja, queso con chorizo, like a whole thing, right? So he takes the first bite, he goes, And that's it. We continue eating y la chingada. So 2 weeks later, I call my mom pretty much every day. And especially now with food. I was like, oh, ¿cómo se hace esto? ¿Qué chile compro? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, I'm making tacos right now. She goes, okay, cuando los pruebe meme, me avisas. And I was like, why? She goes, I'll know if they're good. If he doesn't say, a la primera mordida, no te quedaron ricos. So we sit down and eat, and then he eats one taco, y luego otro taco, y nada. So I had to call her back. I say, Mom, there was no at the beginning of the bite. And she's
were
like,
you so upset, Babs?
I was just like entertaining the whole thing. But now it's a thing. Like every time he doesn't see that he does it. So he will take a bite of something. He goes, And she goes, ya ves, te dije, ya ves, está bien rico.
Let me tell you a story about yourself. I will never forget this moment. You made some bomb ass shit at your house. You know, you're always cooking. And you know, I like to make fun of you because it's like what I live for.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Look at coronavirus trying to get me. It's what I live for. And you made something. It was really good. It had like an egg on it. It might have been like a Asian thing. I don't know.
Enchiladas, ¿no? De Nuevo México.
I don't know what it was. It was in a bowl. And we would go to your house and watch Drag Race and eat whatever your wonderful thing you made. And I ate it up so fast and like literally almost licked the bowl clean. And I was just like, wow, thanks. And, you know, whatever. And then you were so upset. Do you remember this?
No. Cuéntame, güey.
You were so upset because you were like, well, how was it? I was like, oh, it was really good. This was like the next day or 2 days later.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, it was so bomb. He's like, well, you didn't say anything. You never say anything when you eat my food. I was like, bitch, I basically ate the bowl. The reviews are in. I'm like, what are you talking about? I loved it.
No me acuerdo de esa vez, but I do remember because I was be like, because I just remember like, because you and I eat the same things. Like we will go out, eat tacos and shit. And we were like, oh yes, this is bomb. Like we were in sync when it came to eating out. So like the first time I cooked for you, I was fucking nervous. I was like, ¿qué le vaya a gustar? No sé si la voy a cagar. Guara la cuchara. So I make the food. And then again, I think it was by the third time when I was like, bitch, say something. Because you will be like, thank you. That's it. So
girl, I was watching my stories and I'm eating. I was having the best time ever. But I'm sorry. You know, I apologize. You know, like now I understand that some people need verbal affirmations.
Uy, con mi comida yo sí, güey. Yo soy bien fucking. Yeah, I'm like, do you like it? Do you
but
like
what
it?
What I don't understand is I'm the very same way. I'm a Cancer, so I always need people to, you know, kiss my ass. That's like my personality. Or validate my existence. I need people to validate my existence, okay? But I know that about myself now. So I'll always be like, so what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, just ask a simple question like that. And
¿qué
then
te cuesta, cabrón?
I know. You could have been like, hey, what do you think? And I would have been like, can I have some more?
Pero espérate, let me tell you the best and worst story about food since the last time I talked to you.
Oh, girl, did you hear? I'm so sorry.
What? But that,
you just said the worst and best thing about food and... I just want to announce to the world right now that I am officially an influencer, okay?
¿Por qué?
And not only a basic-ass Instagram influencer, okay? I am a chicken nugget influencer.
Ay, Dios mío.
Because I got a personal email in English and in Spanish.
De marranos.
From McDonald's.
No!
And they're like, hey, Justin, we love you. We've heard you talk about chicken nuggets in the past.
What?
And we just want to let you know, because, you know, I make art about chicken nuggets, girl.
Yeah.
That shit is, I'm obsessed. We just want to let you know that come September, McDonald's is rolling out spicy McNuggets, okay?
You heard it
and
here first,
an
people.
An even spicier sauce, and then they're also coming out with a Chips Ahoy McFlurry, okay?
Hijo su madre.
And basically, they just tricked me into doing a commercial for them. But I got a coupon for free nuggets, bitch, and I'm happy about it. And that's all it takes. So if you're listening to this show and be like, how could I get an ad on Latinos Who Lunch? Just send me free food, okay? Even if it's from an evil corporation that ain't shit, that is killing millions of people every day, underpaying people for labor, pretty much just ruining the world. Anyway, spicy nugs, check them out. But go ahead. What was the worst and best food experience of ever for you?
Okay, so I was taking care of a friend's house.
Oh, by the way, if anybody else wants to send me chicken nuggets, please do. There's some really good vegan ones out there. So if you're a vegan company and you have chicken nuggets, did you like my review of McDonald's? Well, I haven't reviewed it yet, but...
So just wait.
If you send me vegan chicken nuggets, I will review them on the show. Just email me. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Out of your system. But I was taking
care... Okay. Wait. No, I'm just kidding.
I was thinking stupid. I was taking care of a house here in Vegas. I was just recording fucking classes because now not only I have to prepare class, I have to prepare class, I have to record it, and I have to edit it. I've learned how to fucking edit video now. So it's just like a whole entire fucking thing. But I love it. The results are good. Anyway, so I just use the time in that house to just record. But my dad is a fucking badass, and I said, I need a pull-up bar. Which one do you recommend me to buy? Because he knows, and you know, he's like, I'll make you one. I was like, great. So instead of spending $300-$400 in a pull-up bar, he just made me one. So of course, estoy como niño con juguete nuevo. We were in the other house. I was like, I want to go to my mom's and exercise. Let's go. So we come here. I do my exercise. Guara, guara, la cuchara. And I was like, now I need In-N-Out because, you know, muscles need burgers. So I would
and
go.
And you want to support the LAPD.
Go ahead. That's right. And cool. Then I'm in the line, y la chingada, y pedimos, y las papas, y con los chiles, y la verga. And then, yes, la verga también me
incluida. You put the verga right in the right between the buns,
incluida.
Huh?
Entonces.
Animal style.
Anyway, so I get my order. Te lo juro, güey. Te lo juro que en cuanto me llega la orden, empiezo con un fucking pain in my tooth. I was like, wait. This was a las 10 de la noche, güey. And I'm driving back home screaming and crying. Like, I'm not making it up.
Do you have any video of that?
Hijo de su pinche madre, I wish. Espérate, déjame te explico la escena en el pinche hospital. Anyway, so we get to the house.
Okay, so you broke your tooth on a burger or what happened?
Ni siquiera me la pude comer porque la pinche muela no me dejó. That was the saddest part. The fucking bag of In-N-Out was staring at me.
You got a rotted tooth back there. Oh, no.
But the problem is that I am petrified. Petrified of the fucking dentist. So I've been putting it off because I had a un relleno, ¿cómo se dice? A filling.
Yeah.
And it fell like in New Year's. back in New Year's. So I was like, meh, no me duele. Sigamos con la fiesta.
Damn. If anybody was unsure if Babelito was a Mexican, now confirmation right there.
Oh,
go ahead.
Espérate, estúpida.
I'm not going to go to the dentist because they're going to find something wrong with my teeth.
Güey, son como los mecánicos. Vas por una cosa y te salen con otra. Anyway, so I...
My grandma, I remember one of the first times I went to the dentist, she's like, mijo, si te van a sacar más de una muela, que te las saquen todas a la misma vez.
Sí.
Porque son... She just like, get off. She's like, they're going to scam you, bitch. Get all those teeth pulled out at once. Don't go back. And I'm like, all right.
She's absolutely right. Plus, you might as well suffer one day instead of like thinking about suffering again. So we get to the house and I was like, nomás me tengo que lavar los dientes bien. Because sometimes, you know, you get sugar and it hits the nerve y la chingada. Mm. So I brush my teeth and I think the toothpaste like numbed it for 15 minutes. So I'm like, okay, whatever, let's watch cartoons or whatever. And then a los 15 minutos empiezo otra vez. Ah, like that YouTube video, me están matando. Like, I felt like that. So fast forward to 5 a.m. of me screaming basically nonstop. I was like, I can't, ya no puedo. Take me to the emergency room. Like, I need fucking drugs. So we get to the emergency room in coronavirus fucking time. I'm petrified. I don't want to touch everything. But at the same time, me estaba fucking muriendo, güey. Te lo juro que nunca había experimentado un fucking dolor like that. It was so fucking painful. And I'm just walking from one side of the emergency room to the other. Like, I'm trying not to scream, but if I don't... Si no saco el sonido o algo, güey, te lo juro que me hubiera desmayado. So, thankfully, shout out to all the enfermeras in UMC. They were wonderful. So finally they put me back there and the dentist is like, oh my God, I see it. I get it. I'll give you painkillers. Like, no more questions asked, because you know, like, that shit, it's so control.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
Raw nerve.
Like, give it to me. Like, and I had a whole prescription, but I was like, no me voy a meter en ese puto territorio, but I still wanted something just to fix the pain, to like get to the dentist. Wait, yeah. La enfermera se acerca to give me the fucking pills y se le caen a la estúpida. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm dying right here. Like, I need you to shot me or something. And because it's like...
Choke me out, bitch. I'm trying to die. Come on.
And because, you know, like, Nurse Jackie is all freaking out about controlled substances, she had to call somebody to be a witness that she's not pocketing those pills. Because that stuff is, you know, it's heroin. That's what they give you. So I have to wait another 10 minutes, pero te lo juro que fueron los 10 minutos más largos de mi pinche vida. Finally, they give it to me. I'm still home. I'm still crying. Y como eso de las 6:30 de la mañana, bitch, caí en un abismo de pasión. I was like, oh my God. And I fell asleep for 1 hour, woke up, called all the dentists available. And finally, when it's like, yes, we take your insurance, come in at noon. I fell asleep for a couple more hours and I go there. And as soon as I got there, the guy goes, the dentist is, you need a root canal. I was like, a la chingada, güey. I was sitting there for 5 hours. Thankfully, I got a Mexican dentist and a Mexican nurse, a dentist assistant, and she was making me laugh the whole entire time. She even told me a story that when she lived in Mexico, it was Christmas, y la comida estaba bien buena, but my tooth hurt, so I would go to the room and shut myself and put myself and put my muela to sleep, come outside, eat some food, go back to the room, shut herself again. She was making me cry laughing. But it was the most horrible 12 hours of my life. But needless to say, I can chew in both sides of my mouth for the first time in 3 years. And it is wonderful. So food tastes even better than it ever did before. Mm-mm.
Oh my God. I can't believe it. I mean, ever since I've known you, you couldn't chew with half of your mouth.
Pretty much. Like I tenía pedos. Y ahora... No mames, güey, la comida me sabe. It tastes so good. Yeah. But it was, they drill on my tooth 3 times. At one point after they drill, because I felt it, they put la jeringa into one of the holes and shot it. So it just shot this painkiller, whatever it is, directly into the nervio. I felt like I saw la Virgen María y todos los fucking santos. I was like, what?
It was.
So, niños y niñas, please take care of your teeth. It is no fucking joke. Even my suegra is like, es como dar a luz, pero todavía te duele más. I was like, oh, cabrón, that's horrible. It's fucking shitty. But I survive, and I'm here. Taking care of my teeth like never before, porque hijo de su pinche madre.
Oh my gosh, I can't. That's like one of the worst pains, for real.
It's something, man.
Mm-hmm.
Ay, ay, ay.
I remember I have pretty good teeth, so I usually I don't think I've ever had a cavity, but there was something going on with my teeth, my front teeth. Before one Thanksgiving, and I'm like, you know how you kind of feel like a tooth is loose? Something happened. So I keep having nightmares of my front tooth cracking. It was not great. But I just ignored it like you did, and it's all good. I just, you know, it just flaps open once in a while, my front tooth. No
you're
big
like,
deal.
Oops, con permiso, voy al baño.
Oh, sorry, my front tooth fell out. One second. You put the dead tooth back in your mouth.
Ay, qué pinches,
oh, my gosh.
Ay, yeah,
dude,
yeah.
That's so scary. Being in the hospital right now, I can't imagine.
It was a lot, but they people were cleaning. It was super, you know, like, they're taking their precautions because it's just, it's fucking scary. But thank God. So I remember sitting there and being like, oh, I cannot wait till this is over because it was too much. But anyway, why don't we take a quick commercial and maybe we'll have time at least to one letter before we come back.
Okie rokie. Oh my goodness. It's that time to thank our wonderful madrinas and madrines here at Latinos Who Lunch. Without you, we couldn't do it. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers, supporters, and familia, really. We really are overwhelmed with the support, and we want to take this moment to shout out our madrinas. Babelito?
Let's do it. So first, Janelle G, thank you so much.
Lily P.
Asia R.
Allison R.
Anna B.
Michelle S.
Nancy R.
Carlos M.
Carolyn K.
Chris and Berna.
Gloria D.
Sherry W.
Erica T.
Santos Q.
Miguel M.
David R.
Brandy C.
Amarelis.
Jocelyn C.
Judith G.
Araceli L.
Janet G.
Jesse S.
Monique J. Shout out, Madrine.
Daisy M.
Arlene P.
Joe. Joe M.
Monica M.
Erika M. Gracias a todos so far.
Sarah.
Rafael T. Brow, brow. Oh, what am I going to say? It's beautiful. thankfully, I'm going to edit
Bra.
This.
That's how he does
Bra.
It. Oh,
that's
my
right.
God.
Brow, brow.
Shout out to Exile, that Latinos. Okay, Lola C. Thank you, Lola's Cocina.
Raquel S.
Maria G.
Esteban C.
Al N. Or Ali N.
Jesse R.
Eduardo V.
Nicole Y.
Leah.
Emily W.
Alexandra N.
KCP.
And Dana G. Thank you so much, madrinas, madrines, madrinos.
Thank you, everybody. And remember to go to latinoswholunch.com/donate to help us, supporting us through PayPal or Patreon. Muchísimas gracias. So it seems like we're almost out of time. So why don't we just go directly into recommendations?
You know what, listeners? Sorry.
Yes.
We had to talk about our teeth falling out.
Las
John
tortillas
Wayne.
Guatemaltecas.
John Wayne, spicy nugs. We didn't have time. We didn't have time to answer your pressing questions. So we got to talk about what's important. No, we didn't talk about anything about Black Lives Matter. We didn't talk about the election. Shout out to Kamala. all cops are bad. We didn't talk about Cardi B's new video. Nothing. Nothing topical, just the important things, like, does my mom make better tacos than me? And that's why you tune in. That's why you tune in every week. We didn't talk about anything relevant to what's happening. And you know what? What a blessing. In
yes, what a fucking
uncertain
breather.
Times, girl. So you know what? I was about to drag our show, but I'm celebrating it now. Sorry, Babs. Go ahead.
Do you have any recommendations?
Okay. I'm going to try to explain this the best I can to give you a little insight on how my brain works, because I've admitted on the show many times, and I know Babelito's like so annoyed that I don't like to read because he sends me all this shit all the time, and I'm like, I try. I try so hard. I try, but I can't.
Bitch, I still have to send you my 42 pages article, so good luck with that's gonna be fun.
Okay, I'll just put them in the folder with the rest of the stuff you sent me.
Que la chingada.
I realize that I might have some undiagnosed, like, not learning I don't know if it's a learning disability or what, but my attention span for, like, I'm a really slow reader, and then I get bored because I'm such a slow reader, but it's going to take practice. You know what I mean? Like, if I have to do something, I will do it. Like, in school, if I have to read something, I'll read it. You know what I mean? I'm trying to have a goal now of reading a book every 2 weeks, a new book every 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of working. But what I decided to do, because, you know, I think we've had this conversation before about, or I've talked about it recently with you, Babalito, about like how a lot of Latinos, especially like white Latinos, white Mexicans, they excuse themselves from conversations about whiteness and white privilege because they don't see themselves as white, you know?
Yes.
And culturally they are not, you know? But in the United States, you are treated differently. And that's like, without a doubt, that's just a fact, you know?
Right.
And so, like, for example, me and part of my family, we're very white, and we benefit from white privilege, and I realize that I'm blind to a lot of bullshit or blind to a lot of injustices and realities because of my white privilege. So obviously, I grew up with a lot of people in my life that have helped me become a person that's not a complete piece of shit when it comes to social justice issues. I want to set the example for other Latinos and own that privilege and be like, listen, I'm a white Latino, and when people are talking shit about white people, I'm gonna pay attention and apply that to the way that me and my family also act. And that has really changed my perspective on everything that I read online, because, and I feel like a lot of people, and this happens a lot with like queer white men and women who are like, oh, I dated a black girl once in the 90s. I'm not racist. You know, like a lesbian saying that, you know, or like, oh, I'm gay. And so I've had to struggle so much. I feel like it's like the same thing. Like, oh, I'm Mexican. I've had to struggle so much. This doesn't apply. When you're saying things about white people, it applies to white gays. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. But a lot of, exactly.
Right. Right. It does matter.
Es que la gente, if you fit one of the minority categories, dicen ya chingamos, de aquí nos agarramos and we're victims from now on. But no, papacito, it doesn't work like that.
Right. And just like the conversation we had... a couple weeks ago with Planeta G, the podcast is like intersectionality. And we talked about the first time I really heard, for me personally, because I didn't go to school for, you know, race and gender studies. Intersectionality was a big buzzword when the Women's March happened. And I call it the White Women's March, because that's when I started to realize, like, and, you know, with like podcasts like Tea with Queen and Jay, like, oh, there's a difference between like feminism, because it's really white feminism.
Right.
And then there's womanism. And then, so there's a lot of different, you know, white supremacy is very real. Okay. So anyway, all that to say, when in June, when the travesty happened and George Floyd was murdered, and we had the uprisings again and the Black Lives Matter protests, all of these guides came out. Like, here is your Google Doc with all the anti-racist things you need to read. And I saw one that's like anti-racist resources for white people, you know, anti-racist resources in Spanish, anti-racist resources general. There's like three main ones. And so I said, you know what? I'm gonna go down the list of all the anti-racist books that I need to read on the list for white people, to see what they are, like what, and just learn from square one, you know, not mm-hmm. pretend that because I have a podcast about identity and Latinidad that I am an que expert sabes on todo. Race, because right. I'm not.
Right. None of
I'm
us are.
Definitely yeah. not. Right. And so I started going down the list, and this is actually, you know, I mean, I feel like after 5 years of doing this podcast, you know me, and like if there is a list of things for me to do, I love to complete the list. Like, so there's that list of resources, and you better believe I will go one by fucking one and read every fucking thing on that list. And so that's what I started to do. So the first book that I could find in my library was Racism Without Racists. So the author is Eduardo Bonilla Silva, and I think he's an Afro-Puerto Rican based on the context from the book. And you know what? I thought this would be a great opportunity to share with you like a book review. Even though it's very dense, like academic material, I thought I could maybe save some of y'all time. Because if you listen to the show and you've been listening for a few years, I think a lot of the concepts and the research done in this book primarily, you already kind of know. Because it's all, like the resource guide says, it's for white people that don't have a clue, you know? So the main study in this book is in Detroit, Michigan, and they survey white and black, I think mostly, students, and then like people in the Detroit area that are older also. And so... Mm-hmm. Basically, the book is cut up into sections, and you're kind of just reading people's responses to questions like, what do you think about biracial marriage? What do you think about white privilege? And you get to hear these like really uncomfortable answers from people that are trying to be politically correct, talk about racism like post 1970s, which is like colorblind racism, where you're like, I don't see color, everybody's equal. You know, like when white people say that shit, it just makes my blood boil. Yeah, so it's just like, it's a lot of like, well, if they want to do that, that's fine. Anyway, where it gets good, bitch, is chapter 9. So go ahead. So if you just want to read the last 3 chapters of the book, I recommend them because that's where it gets juicy. There's a whole chapter on the racial like structure of Latin America and how it's like a myth. You know, of course, it's a myth that there's no racism in Latin America. It's shit that we talk about a lot, but I love the way that this author puts it. And then it's saying that the United States is kind of eventually going to go to this kind of Latin American version of the way that we think about race, which is even more problematic than how we think of it in the United States, because Mexicans pretend racism doesn't exist, which is what we're trying to do over here, right? But it's
right,
like,
right.
We see you killing us. We see you killing black people too, you know, especially them. So anyway, but it's good because if you get the book now, there's a whole chapter on Obama, which is amazing, coming from a black author, I remember when Obama was elected, it was like, oh my, we cried. We were so happy. We never thought the day would come. But this author really gets real about like how Obama became president and how he has been like one of the most moderate presidents in the history, you know, like of the United States, and how.
Yeah, he's not afforded any sort of emotion. Are you kidding? Like, he will be crucified. He would have been crucified. Yeah. He cried once, I think, I remember, and it was like a whole thing.
So I like that it was very objective, you know, and like, you know, Obama was also the deporter in chief, basically.
That's right. And like, never forget.
He signed a lot of. There was a lot of things that he did with the military that was kind of fucked up. So that was fucked up, not kind of, was. And so anyway, he gets into that, and then they added a chapter since Trump was elected, and it gets really into that in a really entertaining. For me, I thought it was entertaining based on the rest of the book anyway. So I do recommend it, but just so you know, the first few chapters are a little bit rough because it's just like white people being like, well, I don't know. They say to themselves, I'm fine. You know, like it's just like you can hear the racism in their voices. You know, it's so scary.
We were talking about this with an uncle a couple of weeks ago, and he put it in such a good way. He said, this is a system in a country that was put together several hundred years ago by white people. And now the people are telling you that the system that you put in place a couple hundred years ago for white people, it doesn't work anymore. So you have to fucking change. And like, I think we've got to the brink point that even though this movements of freedom, this movements of equality are not new, it's gotten to the point of almost no return. This is why the political game on the other side is fucking, it seems more ridiculous than ever. Have you seen the Trump ads on YouTube? It is so fucking entertaining, but at the same time, it's not. Because it is, it's real, because this shit has hit the fan. And it, I mean, it hit the fan in 1492, right? But it's gotten to the point where, like, there's no fucking return. So everybody needs to fucking be ready, because the changes are just getting started, you know? And, like, and we all feel like it came out of nowhere. A lot of people feel like it came out of nowhere. So this type of resources, as simple and as dumb as they may seem to some of us that have been thinking or talking about this shit for a long time, they're still necessary. So that's a good recommendation, yeah.
Yeah, definitely recommend it. And like I said, I'm giving you a little cheat sheet. If you want to just read the last few chapters, the intro and the last few chapters, baby, that's gold. And you just reminded me of, so that's my first recommendation, is the book Racism Without Racists. And then second is, I have already talked about Lacey Mosley on the show before. She's a comedian who has the podcast Scam Goddess, where she talks about scams.
Mm-hmm.
And her latest episode was about Sean King, who may or may not be white, but is posing as like a modern day Frederick Douglass, basically, like activist.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You got to listen to the episode. It's good. But I say this because Lacey on a past episode, when, you know, they were talking about Joe Biden, and they're talking about what's happening now with, like, who we have to choose for, you know, like, who we have to choose as president. Like, we either vote for this dumpster fire of a president to keep ruling this country, or, like, a dictator, right? Or
un títere de los Clintons.
Right. We settle for Joe Biden. And Lacey says, think about it this way. Trump told police on air, in an interview or whatever, during a speech or something, like, to why police aren't just shooting people straight in the heart.
Hijo de su madre.
And there is also recorded Joe Biden saying, well, why are police shooting people to kill? Maybe they should just shoot them in the legs. That's what Joe Biden said.
Oh, my God.
A public statement. And Lacey was like, this pretty much sums up what we have to choose from. Somebody that's going to shoot us in the heart, or somebody that's going to shoot us in the leg.
That's
Shout
right.
out to Meg Thee Stallion.
That's right.
And so she started this new campaign, and it's called Leg 2020. So you can go to Lacey Mosley's website and buy the shirt Leg 2020. That's my recommendation.
I am
support
doing
a black
that.
Business and buy a funny shirt.
I almost want to have a whole show of, I'm voting because it's my privilege and I have to and I cannot not vote. Pero no tienes ideas how I've been thinking about it, because it's just like, I don't fucking know what to think anymore. And I don't even know what, you know, like, it's just out of control. And like, there's been so many times where I'm like, fuck it, I'm not going to do it. Pero no puedo, man. I have to do it.
Girl,
I have
three words for you.
Oh, Leg hijo su madre.
2020. That's right.
I know. Leg 2020. I wish I'm buying that t-shirt. That's awesome. Okay, so my recommendation for music, it's something that I've been wanting to recommend for a while, and I've been waiting for a new album from this band for a while, because this person has become one of my favorite musicians out there. And as you, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I've been obsessing over Colombian music, Colombia cumbias, and there's just so much. Like, I went into a rabbit hole, y todavía me estoy cayendo, güey. Like, there's so much fucking amazing shit. But as fucked up as this sounds, it started through a Spanish album, the Niño de Elche, because that album that it was one of my top albums of last year, Colombiana, I think it was called, it was produced by Eblis Álvarez. And Eblis Álvarez produced that album. He has two projects. One is Los Pirañas, which is psychedelic cumbia. If you don't know who Los Pirañas is, Google it. It's amazing. It's just fucking amazing music. And it's all como se dice, like, they don't necessarily plan the songs. They just jam together and they put incredible shit. But another project of Eblis Alvarez is the Meridian Brothers. And the Meridian Brothers, every time I read something about them, it's all the same thing. And they always say, this is unclassifiable music. And the reason is because this shit is unclassifiable. It's so fucking weird. It's so crazy. Every time I hear a new Meridian Brothers album, I don't know what to think anymore.
I love them. They're great.
It's so strange and they're so weird. And they just came out with a new album a couple of days ago. So by the time this comes out, it's like a couple of weeks ago. It's called Cumbia Siglo XXI. If you listen to this album expecting to listen to something familiar, like, you're wasting your time. Just go into this album knowing that it's going to be a fucking trip. This guy did a cover of Son of a Preacher Man. It's called La Cumbia del Pichamán. And it's so good. This album is fucking incredible. Get into it. I will recommend for you, if you haven't listened to the Meridian Brothers, start with the album called Donde Está María. That album, I think it's the most accessible one. It's still fucking weird. But the new one just came out. And this guy doesn't stop making music. And he doesn't give a fuck. The production is wonderful. The lyrics are radical. The music is just weird. And I think it's perfect because it's almost like a punto y aparte of everything that is musically happening. And that's why I love it. Everybody that doesn't follow the wave and they try to do something different, as self-loathing and fucked up as it may be, I'm here to listen. So again, the name of the album is Cumbia Siglo XXI or Cumbia Siglo XXI by the Meridian Brothers. Google it. It's everywhere. Listen to it. Get into it and tell me what you think about it. Because again, I only know one person. Shout out to Eric, which is always giving me recommendations in Chicago about music. And this is one of the albums. This is one of the bands that we're always talking about because it's just so, so, so weird. So again, Meridian Brothers, Cumbia Siglo XXI. Check it out.
Awesome.
Anything else, boo?
Don't call me boo. Thank you.
Boo.
Boo boo kachu. No, that's it.
Okay.
All right. As always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Send your emails at asklwlpod@gmail.com. And we probably will not read them on the air like today. Just kidding. I got a lot of emails coming for you. Don't worry. Or email listener letters coming for you.
Okay.
Buy our coloring book, The ABCs of Latinidad. You can go on our website and find that. Also, if you have time, please leave us a review. My God, so many amazing reviews. You know what I want to do, Babs? I'm taking after you, where I have a production meeting during the show about a future episode. It's like, we need to stop doing that. It's so fucking annoying.
Oh, whatever.
I love your reviews. More about that soon. There you go.
Nice.
Please leave your reviews on Apple Podcasts or wherever you can leave a review and rate us 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
That's right. Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa, music by the band Balloon. I'm Fabi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao.